Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It's okay to ask, why does this need to take place? It's not okay to do otherwise. God says that he's put us some guardrails to protect us. We need to walk in the ways of God and believe what he says and receive it. We need to learn how to walk in it. And they do that. They live this out. Continuing in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. This is before Jesus ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. So he's in that, kind of in the tradition of the prophets, Samuel and others who directly communicated with God. The Holy Spirit was on him in a very special way, pre-Jesus' ascension. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah, promised him, Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Before we get into what he said, he's praising God. Listen to that interaction, that story between Simeon and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon him. It had been revealed. He'd received something specific from the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he believed him. He believed God. And then he's moved by the Spirit in a specific time to go into the temple courts. So he is there when the parents bring the child Jesus in. And then he prophesies over him. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, he's been anticipating this, been waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. As you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. He's completely fulfilled all that God has asked him to do, and he's fulfilled every promise that he's made to Simeon. And he goes, I'm ready to die now. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. You may dismiss your servant in peace. Why? Because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's a complete fulfillment here. As he's promised, may dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. We'll get back to this in a minute. This passage continues. I just want to finish reading it. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul. Simeon goes on a journey here from anticipation of the promises made to the reception of those. He received the fulfillment of those because he was in this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, responsive to it. answerable to no one, God. You are sovereign. That's where he starts. It's about who God is. In the beginning, God. That's the way the Bible starts. It starts with him. Then it unfolds out of that character what he does. As you have promised, and he believes you. He took that promise and took it to the bank and deposited it because he believed it. He knew it was going to happen. Associated with God's presence. Everything is as it should be. He's quiet. He hasn't explained why yet. But the promise has been fulfilled. And everything is as it should be. Is everything as it should be in our world? Wasn't sickness. Right in that moment, he says, here's why. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What? He just saw a 40-day-old baby. That's what he actually saw. But he says, I have seen your salvation. Revelation is full of this kind of language. I heard this, and I turned and I saw. And it's a powerful dynamic there. It's not what we expect. 40-day-old baby. But he says, I have seen salvation. He's brought salvation in many different ways throughout Israel's history. He raised up judges and prophets and kings to lead them out of slavery, bring a temporary salvation. But this is fulfilled salvation. This is eternal salvation. This is something dramatically different than new. This is fulfillment of all prophecy, of all scripture. Of the baby were heard. This baby was just another Jewish baby, born to humble parents. To anyone else who happened to look into the stable that night, that's what they would have seen. Just a baby. The father, an ordinary man, looking on, and the mother holding the newborn baby. And they would have oohed and awed, as other people do, over new babies. But if Christmas is just about telling the story of the birth of a baby born in strange and difficult circumstances, then we've missed the point completely. If Christmas is just about singing nice songs about a baby and an angel and shepherds and wise guys, wise men, then the whole season becomes meaningless. If Christmas is just to become traditions and customs, wherever we are in the world, gifts and food, family and fun, listen carefully to the message he's given to Mary and through Mary, to Zechariah and through Zechariah, to the angels and through the angels, and to Simeon and through Simeon. We focus our thinking on the reason for our celebration of Christmas. Christmas celebrates the greatest gift. I mean, it's a common so that in me you may have peace. How many times are we trying to achieve peace through getting the right thing and the right answer? He says, in me. Will we be like Simeon and believe what he says so that we can receive what he's offering? In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. It's impossible to have real peace even in this chaotic world. And thus, we'll have the fulfillment of that peace when Jesus returns. What are you anticipating this Christmas? What are you really longing for? Just that right gift. Oh, if I get this, life will be great. Or if the person that I'm giving this to has the right response, yes, I nailed it. What are you anticipating? The end of COVID-19? Just the right government in place or the right laws or something in a relationship to be made right? Are you anticipating a great achievement this year? Some recognition, some fame? Maybe it's even more, like I said at the beginning, overwhelming. Maybe you're looking for the right diagnosis for you or a loved one, or the right prognosis that they can move towards health, the resolution of a great concern. These are all temporary deliverances. Like salvation in the Old Testament was temporary. Jesus brings us up. He's the Savior. I have seen your salvation. Do we believe it? I suggested looking at a video on YouTube. It's different famous people testifying about Jesus on live TV and how they'll cut you off. And honoring God through sports by Alpha and Omega Productions. I encourage you to look that up. Watch it. Discuss it as a family. Does. It's about him, and that starts with him and continues with him. That's where the story starts and continues. And do we believe in them receiving what God has promised? That's immediately. Do we believe 2 Thessalonians 3:16? Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Or do we dismiss that? No way. It's not even possible. Or do we believe him? Right? Simeon says, what you have promised is received it. Now you can dismiss your servant in peace. The Lord be with you all, that message is. Because Jesus is in all believers, right? That's what he's made possible in coming. Emmanuel, God with us. He's still with us. Yes, he ascended. Do we believe him? Do we walk with him daily? How do we do that? When we're feeling something less than peace, do we cry out to him? Do we get back into Scripture and go, what have you promised? And believe what he has promised? Or are we trying to solve it with something else in our world? This world doesn't satisfy. Jesus is the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior. He brings salvation. Say, I have seen your salvation. Are we led by the Holy Spirit? When we don't really believe, can we pray and say, God, would you help me in my unbelief so that we do believe and we can receive what he's promised? It says in John 14:27, peace.
it's the fulfillment of something I've promised. And Simeon goes and he experiences it. Do we really believe God in a way so much that we act on it? And we're in that position to receive what he wants to give us. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Boy, our world needs peace, and it needs a people of peace. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. We can ask God for peace, this total well-being, even in the midst of chaos. Proverbs 12:20 says it from another perspective. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have the joy. There's a dramatic difference here. Those who are in relationship with God and believing and receiving from him, to those who are just scrambling in the world trying to make things work. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what results? That's the belief and your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. First is to believe. Do we know the promises God has made? Do we have a growing intimate relationship with him where we know his character, how faithful he is, as we've been dealing with for weeks now? That he is perfectly faithful and good. There's a lot. I was in a dialogue online some months back anyways, with someone I'm on Facebook with, and they said, well, how, whatever with your God, your genocidal God, right? Many people deflect, and they misrepresent God's character. There's a gross misunderstanding of who God is. We call him a genocidal God. But why do they say that? They dismiss him. This is a misunderstanding of what he said and how history is unfolding. They're missing the whole story, the whole point of his loving kindness, how sacrificial he is, and how slow to anger he truly is. Realize before he brings judgment upon a people, he knows every heart. Just like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Give every person the opportunity. There's hundreds of years sometimes, just like I said earlier, between Jesus being dedicated and circumcised and given his name to when they brought him to the temple, right? There's no break in our scriptures, but there's a matter of days. Sometimes there's years, decades, even hundreds of years of God slowly saying, please turn. Turn from your wicked ways, the evil things that you're doing. He's also a God of justice. At some point, he brings justice. Sometimes people are shaken so hurt by God or by those who profess to know Jesus that they've been hurt so bad that they impose that on God's character. They say, he can't be that good. think. I know better than God is the attitude behind arrogance. Further, I deserve better. I deserve something good. And I want a God who's the great Santa Claus in the sky that gives me what I want.